Third and final hour. Welcome back, or good afternoon, or good morning. It's good to have you here. I'm Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Lee Jenkins coming up momentarily. We're talking a lot about the Patriots. I haven't even gotten into the book that Ian O'Connor has written, which says, among other things, that Tom Brady considered a divorce. Consider that a divorce from Bill Belichick. Like, he just had enough of the guy finally. We haven't even gotten into that story. We've been talking, though, about Josh Gordon. And a number of the listeners, you listeners, are saying this is great. We need more phone calls from Patriot fans. At such beer wow tweets. Whoa, Rome. That call from Jim in Maine was wicked good. At Drew's Brew 916 tweets. That chowd that just called in from Maine has it wrong. It's winna winna lobster dinner.
Winna winna chicken dinner.
Hey, listen, I'm the host of the show, so what I say matters. They're making the show better. They're making the show better, not worse. As promised, we're joined right now by a former Sports Illustrated senior writer, the Jim Murray Memorial Foundation's Journalist for the Year 2017. Featured in this year's edition of the Best American Sports Writing, Executive Director of Research and Identity for the Los Angeles Clippers, and a very good friend of the program. We are joined by Lee Jenkins. Lee, it's so good to have you back. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
Lee, I'm great. It is so good to talk to you, but I've got to first ask right off the top, what's it feel like, Lee, when you hear yourself as introduced as the former Sports Illustrated senior writer and new executive director of research and identity for the Los Angeles Clippers? What's that feel like, and does it actually feel real?
I think it should be Mark in Hollywood. That's what I think it sounds like.
Right.
It doesn't, it definitely takes a minute to get used to that. It's not something that I ever kind of went looking for. I never went to the NBA job fair, looking for a position or anything like that. It just, it was just something that sort of came out of the sky. And, they just had some, they got some people in that front office, Lawrence Frank, Michael Winger, Steve Ballmer, who really, they think outside the box, they think creatively. And they thought that, some of the skills you have in putting these stories together as far as just asking questions, connecting dots, looking at things differently, would somehow be able to help the team. So, that's what I'll try to do, Jim. I have no, I have no idea exactly how this looks long term, how long it lasts, any of that, but I'm excited for the adventure.
Lee Jenkins joining us. What an amazing adventure that must be. I mean, it's an awesome job title, and I know that you've said that what it really means is you're a valet for Jerry West or a coffee boy for
exactly.
Lawrence Frank and Michael Winger, but unpack that a little bit, Lee. What is the job description that goes along with the title of Executive Director of Research and Identity for the LA Clippers? Break that down.
So, I think that these organizations, unlike journalistic enterprises, it's like I'm learning a little bit more about the corporate environment and sort of this collaborative effect that goes into it, where you have kind of all these people in these rooms helping present sort of their point of view, the way they look at situations with players or situations facing the organization, and they're kind of presenting their point of view to the people in charge, the people who really make the decisions, like Lawrence Frank, Michael Winger, Steve Ballmer. So I feel like a lot of it is kind of just is being there to think in a little bit of a different way, to look at it differently. And then part of it, I think, is to assist in terms of player evaluation, looking at things, maybe in a different way and complementing the people they have. So, you have the analytical side, which I know absolutely nothing about. There's the collective bargaining agreement, which I know nothing about. As far as evaluating players and their talent level, I know nothing about that either. Okay, if I went into a gym, I couldn't tell you who's good, who's bad, anything. What I try to do is explain a little bit about who people are. That's what I do with my work, with my stories. And that's what I'm going to try to do for them. If they're interested in that, is give them a little bit of a sense with potential players, the players they have, even a little bit more of who they are, how the team can help them, the organization can help them be better, and also how they might fit into, what the organization's building. So the way I see it is like almost like a complement to all these great scouts and analysts that they already have, maybe helping ask a few different questions and looking at things a bit differently.
So interesting. Lee Jenkins joining us. So you've got the job of working on and identifying to a certain extent, Lee, the identity of the players. What about the identity of the Clippers? How would you describe that right now? And is that part of what you're working on as well?
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, I'm going to try. That's something that they are, I mean, listen, the Lob City era, they had an identity. And that's over, and they're trying to build something new. They're trying to build an identity for the team. And, you know, clearly it's kind of in the infancy. I think there's a great opportunity because you are building now. I mean, they're in an era now where they have to build anew. They want to stay competitive, but they're also trying to build an identity to something, for something to kind of hang their hat on besides they play in Los Angeles and they're owned by Steve Ballmer. And I think you saw it a little bit last season. They played with a real toughness and an edge to them. I have a feeling you'll see that again this season. And, you know, it's probably the way I feel like they're going to go is they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a very workmanlike team in Los Angeles. And I think there will be, you know, people who are really drawn to that moving forward.
Lee Jenkins joining us. All right, Lee, people are familiar with Ballmer and Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, but the team's general manager, Michael Winger, is not as familiar to some people, some fans. I know you have a ton of respect for Winger, who had previously been with the Thunder. Who is Michael Winger and what makes him stand out?
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible leader too. I mean, you have some big personalities, some big resumes in that organization. And, you know, he's someone who, you know, I feel like is really the glue. I mean, he's the guy as far as strategy, as far as, you know, kind of looking ahead and looking at what this team needs. He's the person who kind of knows, I mean, I don't think anybody knows the CBA probably better than Michael Winger, and, you know, understands just all the minutiae that goes into putting a team together, putting a team on the floor, making moves. I mean, there's a discipline that the Clippers have had that you can see really kind of going back to the Blake Griffin trade, a discipline they approach that's really set them in a great spot. I mean, they have really incredible flexibility, you know, next summer moving forward. And I think in a lot of ways, Jim, his presence kind of made this a really great bet for me because I just feel like they're really well positioned. They're well positioned between their market, their owner, and their front office to make a dent.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. Now, Lee, when you and I started, you touched on this momentarily, but you're not the first person in the media to move to the team side of things. But this is a little bit different in the sense that while you won't acknowledge it, everybody in the industry will say that you're the absolute best at what you do. So knowing that, exactly how did this opportunity first come about?
You know, I mean, it's just like for you, when you interview people, like sometimes you have a connection with some people and sometimes you don't. And, you know, I've been interviewing Lawrence Frank for a long time and, you know, you never think, oh, well, this person might hire me. And that never kind of comes into play. That's never even in the back of your mind. But, you know, I had a lunch end of the regular season with Michael Winger. And during that time, we didn't even really talk a lot about basketball. And this was not about a job or anything. This was just a getting to know you. And out of that, they kind of asked me to come in and see them again and talk a little bit about, you know, about basketball and about how kind of a reporter's role may be able to help a front office, to help a team. And so as the months went by, you know, I think part of the motivation, Jim, for me, and I don't know if you ever feel like this, but it's like, we never really know what it's like. You know, we can ask people a million questions. We can get pretty close. You know, what's it like on draft night? What's the deadline? Like all of that. I think people can tell us in pretty vivid terms, pretty detailed terms. But, you know, the opportunity to really get to know what it was and what it was like was extremely appealing to me and something that, you know, if and when I do go back to the media, which I assume I will, that I'll just know so much more than I know now. And I feel like that it'll only kind of help moving forward.
Lee, why do you assume that? How do you know that you'll go back to the media? How do you know that you won't just dominate this the way you did the other and that you won't have a passion and you won't love this and you might not climb the ladder here too? How do you know you'll be back?
You know, being around those guys, they see it. They just see it so much differently than I see it. Like I'm never going to be able to evaluate players like that. I'm not smart enough to understand, you know, the collective bargaining agreement the way Michael Winger does. I'll never be good enough negotiator. My analytics, like, they're just so, I have so many deficiencies as far as, you see all the aspects of this, and once you're in it, you just realize how much you know. And so I just, it's what I expect. It's what I see. I hope this lasts a long, long time. You know, I hope it's an incredible success for everybody involved. But it's also pro sports. And I realize that there's probably a bit of a ceiling on what I'm trying to do is something, you know, very specific. And I don't know that it will, that I'll necessarily be able to, I wouldn't be naive enough to think that I could grow much farther out of that.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Lee Jenkins joining us. You know, Lee, I think that you, I can't speak for you, but a lot of us that are in this business the way we are, obviously we figured out that we were not going to be professional athletes, but we love the games. We love the sports. We love the dynamics. So we get into this side of the business, and then you're on the other side of the business. As an example, you told Woj that you were mindful of something that David Griffin always said about LeBron, that he'll often make decisions with the younger version of himself in mind. In other words, what would 12-year-old LeBron dream about doing? So let me turn that on its head. What would 12-year-old Lee Jenkins think about Lee Jenkins being in the front office of an NBA team?
Yeah, that was cool. That was pretty cool. I mean, first would probably have been, honestly, to write for Sports Illustrated. But, you know, I've been able to do that for 11 years, and this just sounded like a really enticing adventure. And the people seemed like the kind of people you'd really want to work with. And, you know, I'm from San Diego, so to me, and the Clippers were gone by the time I was really a cognizant sports fan. But I grew up watching the Clippers and liking the Clippers and going up to, you know, L.A. Sports Arena for games and stuff. So it's, to me, all of it, you know, there is an appeal. What you're talking about with LeBron and sort of making those decisions with the younger you in mind, yeah, that I did think about that, because how many times do you get an opportunity like that? That's one thing that kind of kept coming up with me, is I'm like, this has never happened before. No one in all the interviews I've done, no one's ever said, hey, can you just come work for us? Like, no one's ever that, and I know that no one will. So it just felt like one of those once-in-a-lifetime moments that I didn't really want to let slide.
All right, so before you go and before you leave your previous life, I mean, you always want to be in journalism, and you've done it as well as anybody's ever done it, and you've done it at the highest level for SI. Is there any part of you, and of course I would imagine there would be, a part of you that's going to miss writing profiles and seeing those pieces in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, there's a big part. I mean, it's really tough leaving that place. It's, you know, I know things have changed. I know, you know, print isn't what it was and magazines aren't what they were, but, you know, working there was just such an honor, and I loved every minute of it. So no, I'll for sure miss it. I mean, weirdly, I do think what I'm going to be doing here, there will be similarities as far as finding out, you know, putting puzzles together about players. But I can't, it won't be actually writing. I won't be sitting down at a computer and, you know, writing a profile of someone. I think I probably will again at some point, but no, for right now, I'll definitely miss it.
You know, Lee, finally,
I'll miss being on the show with you too.
No, whoa. Are you not doing that anymore? Can you not appear on this show anymore, Lee?
I know. I'll write that into the contract. The Jim Rome appearances are permitted.
Please do, Lee. Put that in the contract. And a last thought, I mean, you're not dead, but how gratifying was it to see the response of your peers on social and otherwise after the announcement was made?
Well, no, it feels like you're at your own funeral. I mean, I'm completely sick of myself. So, but it was so generous of people who've taken the time to read and to write, and especially now, all you hear is, well, people don't read more than 280 characters. They won't read these 4,000 word stories. So, you know, to know that at least some people did is, no, it's incredibly flattering. I appreciate it.
He is the new executive director of research and identity for the LA Clippers. Very good friend of the program. Lee, you see what you can do to at least write in a couple of appearances a year for the show, because we'd love to have you here. You're always welcome here. You know that. But Lee, congratulations. It's an amazing story. It is so well deserved, and I'm really anxious to see how that next thing plays out for you.
Thanks, Romy. Appreciate it. We got to get Mark next.
You got it, Lee. Got to get Mark next. Lee Jenkins, my guest. Got profound respect for Lee. He literally is one of the best to ever do it. And when he says things like, yeah, you know, I'm just not like them. I'll never understand that. I'll never see players that way. I'll never understand the CBA the way they see the CBA. I'll never see the analytics and the metrics. I don't buy any of that. Lee Jenkins is very, very bright. Essentially, he's going to figure out exactly whatever they throw him into. Mark in Hollywood. He's going to be the next one in. It's Alejandro tweets, Mark Cuban should totally go to Lee Jenkins' house, close the door, and not open it until Lee accepts the same position with the Mavs. Hey, Jim. Just want to say that I work 7 days a week, two jobs, have two kids, and bake every day. It is possible to be a normal, productive member of society and be a total pothead at the same time. War Team Bake. War Team Indica. Mike, I didn't say it wasn't. I said there are high-functioning stoners and low-functioning stoners. I just said that Matt Barnes appeared on a podcast and said that he baked before every game. All right, Lee Jenkins. That's such a fascinating story. But you know what? Not as surprising as it may seem to some. If you spend any time with Lee, he's a brilliant guy. Very, very sharp. So as Lee points out, if you spend as much time with decision makers as Lee did in the NBA, talking to, interviewing, researching, they're going to say, you know what? We want bright people around us. We want people that are smart, that have got a different point of view, that can help us get to where we need to go. Why would you not want somebody very bright and very talented in your organization? And then if you're a journalist, and I would imagine for Lee Jenkins to give up the job that he had his dream job. That's what Lee always wanted to do. Lee was doing, I don't want to speak for Lee, but it seems to me, Lee was doing what he always wanted to do and doing it at a very high level. You don't walk away from something like that unless you get a special opportunity, a different opportunity. I mean, what an amazing thing. Like, imagine being in our position, mine, his, others, where all we do is talk sports, interview people in the business. And then on the other side of that, somebody comes to us and says, you know what? We would like to have you in our business. Come work for our company. You know, if the Dodgers came to me, the Steelers came to me, somebody and said, hey, by the way, Rome, you know, I kind of like where you're coming from. I know the way you go about your work. I know your work ethic. I know your point of view. We would like to have you on this side. And all of a sudden, you're not so objective, but you're in it. You know, you're experiencing the wins and the losses. Like Lee. Lee's told amazing stories his entire career. Well, how amazing would it be if the Clippers were to win an NBA title and he were a part of that? That'd be an amazing story. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. Like everybody in our business, when we saw that story drop, we all started to send it around. Like, damn, you see this? Look at Lee. Lee's going to work for the Clippers in the front office. Like everybody I know in the business, I must have got that text 50 times, like in the first 5 minutes. Like, look at your dude. It's fascinating. It's great. And he's going to kill it. I think that he'll always write on some level, but I would not be surprised if he did not come back to the other side because I expect him to do fully. I expect him to kill it in whatever capacity he's in. Very talented, very bright. And I would hate it, Lee, if you never came on the show again. You got to find a way to work in an appearance once or twice a year. Or if not, I'll just book Mark in Hollywood. Like the fake Silk. The fake Lee Jenkins.
Smack off 22. Smack off 22. Smack off 22. Smack off 22. Smack off to, oh, there it is. Yeah.
1-800-636-8686. All right, we take a short time out. I do want to talk about the O's, the Orioles. Not a good team. And that's not me saying it. It's them saying it. And they're right. They're not a good team. Never a good look, fellas. When you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt, you think it makes you look cool and casual, but more than likely it makes you look like a slob and you look sloppy. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short. It's perfect. In fact, so perfect that GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel great. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It at one of their over 35 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants. Stop hiding your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20 for 20% savings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Dasa Lee Jenkins. All right, I want to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. Dodgers walk it off against the Rocks. First up, though, let me remind you how much I love this job. I love it because I talk sports every single day. On occasion, you help me. You actually elevate the conversation. But no matter what, the show takes a lot of prep. And part of that prep is getting a good night of sleep. Thankfully, I'm able to get a good night of sleep almost every single night because nobody snores in my house. I don't. Janet doesn't. Jake doesn't. Logan doesn't. Sapphire the cat doesn't. Cody the cat doesn't. None of us. The four people and the two cats, we don't snore. Snoring ain't sleeping. If you or anybody you know snores, hit it with a Zypa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Zypa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. What that is Happy Z spelled backwards. I wake up every single morning. I feel great because I sleep well every single night. If you're snoring, you're not sleeping. If you're snoring, the person next to you is not sleeping. You want to get a good night of sleep, get a Zypa. ZYPPAH.com. Make sure you and everybody you know have happy Z's. Put an end to the snoring. Get a great night of sleep with Zypa. Go to Zypa.com. Zypa.com. Checking out the calls. Hey, Hawk, you like anybody here? Wow, dude, that was not aggressive. That was not confident. Are you sure? Let's go to Orlando. Eric in Orlando, my man. Eric, what's going on? How are you?
Roll me, buddy. How you doing? Thanks for
Good.
Taking my call.
You got it. How you doing, Eric? What's up?
Doing great. Hey, great interview with Lee Jenkins. I've always liked him.
Lee's
now,
good,
dude. Now, in reference to that clown that came in, and I'm calling to defend my accent and my city, okay? At least we don't burn down our cash on Botox and face carvings, and we don't eat those weak-ass spiny lobsters, okay? Now, Jim, have you ever had a New England lobster?
Yes, sir, I have. You know I have.
How about it? Is it like candy or what?
It's incredible. The best you can get.
That's all I got for you, buddy.
It's like candy. You're exactly right, Eric. All right. Run that back. Good to rack him. It's my man, Eric. Eric's the absolute best. Lobster smack. It's not any of that spiny crap that we eat out here. They also don't light their money on fire over Botox. And he's right. He asked, have you ever had New England lobster or Maine lobster? It's like candy. It melts in your mouth. Of course, that is the legend who glossed James Kelly, the flight deck. No matter what Eric from Orlando ever said after that, he'd be right. Like, literally, this guy could come in. After glossing James Kelly, the flight deck, this guy could come in here and anything he says about anything at all, I'm going to say it, rack him, rack him, rack him. Like, he's grandfathered in. He gets racked on everything. He's going to live off that. That's like a lifetime exemption. My man could be in the smack off, my man. I'd let him host this show for glossing James Kelly, flight deck, and laying it out the way he did. However, notice he's not living on that. He's not resting on his laurels. My man still has lava. He still has heat. And he's not going to take that crap from people here in California clowning him for his accent.
At least we don't burn down our cash on Botox and face carvings, and we don't eat those weak-ass spiny lobsters, okay?
Okay. And their lobster melts in your mouth like candy.
How about it? Is it like candy or what?
It's incredible. Yes. It is like candy. It is incredible. It is like candy. I've never had lobster like that lobster. And we do eat lobster out here. All right, so that's how that side sounds. That's how the Northeast sounds. Why don't we bounce it back to California and hear how California sounds? Matt in Los Angeles. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Romy Brome, I don't know what this child or... Actually, he's from Orlando, but, I mean, he got the flight deck shot off. But, hey, bro, come down to the Port of L.A., Port of Long Beach. You're going to get some strong lobsters, baby. Berth 55 all day, homie. But that's not what I called about, Rome. I'm calling, actually, for two reasons. Shout out to my man Dave Roberts taking that Jungle Karma to task. all week since we left Cincy, baby. But I'm actually calling out my man, John Gruden. Hey, John, you know what, man? It's time to either put up or shut up, bro. I mean, we know that you got duped in the Khalil Mack thing, all right? You overrated your defense, but stop the BS, dude. Stop getting outmatched. It's a game of adjustments. It's a four-quarter ball game, all right? So you better sack up, man, because Raider Nation ain't going to have another losing season. Let's go, Raiders. That's all I got, Jim. War Uncle Hawk and the astronaut Cat Griffey. War Irate Craig and his brother Owen Wilson rocking the schlong schnoz to stardom. Outro.
Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A. is saying that it's put up or shut up for Gruden. Actually, Matt, it's not. He's got a 10-year contract, $10 million guaranteed per year. That's the whole problem with Gruden. There is no put up or shut up. Guaranteed money. Guaranteed money. He can do whatever the hell he wants for as long as he wants. Put up or shut up. Are you kidding? This guy's going to keep doing what he's doing. And nobody can say or do anything about it because he's guaranteed $100 million. How good would you feel about yourself knowing that you made $10 million a year guaranteed for 10 years? You'd probably walk around the way Gruden does too, saying what you want, making no sense whatsoever, justifying whatever the hell you want, commenting on certain things but not other things, taking responsibility for some things and not other things. Why? Because he can. Because he's guaranteed $10 million a year. Put up, shut up. Now, this guy's got no job pressure at all. None whatsoever. He'll be out of Oakland before you know it. He'll get that honeymoon start once again in Las Vegas. He can do things like that where he can just trade away Khalil Mack, the best young defensive player they've ever had. I mean, how ridiculous is that statement now? Yeah, well, we had this guy last year and we were terrible defensively. Really? Because now Chicago has him and the guy's already like single-handedly transformed their entire defense. He doesn't even know their defense yet. And this guy's flying around the field making plays. Their whole vibe is different. You know, that whole thing about, yeah, I'll tell you what, man, Richard Dent ain't coming through that door. He might. They look like the 85 Bears all of a sudden. Buddy Ryan, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, Gary Fensick, Doug Plank, Mike Singletary. Hell, they might. They might come through that door. Yes, I don't know. That statement about, eh, we weren't real good last year, were we, with this guy? So how valuable is he? I don't know. Go ask Chicago. They look like a totally different team. And not only are they transformed defensively, a guy like that who's going to make that defense that much better is going to take pressure off a young quarterback who doesn't have to do it all by himself because the defense is knocking suckers out. And the reason they're doing so is because they've got Khalil Mack flying around. And nobody can block him. And that's a guy who missed camp and a guy who doesn't even know the playbook yet. I mean, come on, Chuck, really? Sounds absurd. It looks ridiculous. Matt in L.A. is taking him to task. All right, so now you've heard from the Northeast and you heard from California. How about somebody in the middle of the country? Want to jump in? Take part. We will take a break. Open phones to wrap the program. I'm still trying to get to my thoughts on Yasiel Puig getting robbed for a fourth time. Huge email brought to you by Warner. Football fans, when you need to climb a ladder, make sure it's a Warner. The number one brand in ladders. Go to warnerladder.com. Check out America's most used pro step ladder or the new multi-position Pro 5 in one ladder. Warnerladder.com. The official ladder of pros everywhere. If you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to stay strong. I mean, be strong, but stay strong. Like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test.
Kurt Orban.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dave in Kansas City asks, Jim, if you went back to your 12-year-old self and got offered your dream job, what would you want it to be? 12. I'm trying to think of how I thought when I was 12. So that put me in seventh grade. I'm going to say that at that point, I probably knew that I was not going to play wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was my first dream job. Like a lot of you listening, I grew up as a kid, but I grew up in a very different time now. There was no social. There weren't thousands of channels. It was just the main networks. So I spent a lot of my time. I spent much of my childhood watching sports, being obsessed with sports, watching games, reading games. There was no internet. There was no social. It was just the games. Couldn't get enough. So as a kid, I wanted to be a pro athlete. All of a sudden, it came to me, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be big enough or strong enough or fast enough or quick enough or athletic enough. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out for me. All right, so what do? I love sports. I love sports. How do I stay in this thing? Maybe I can be in broadcasting. So I'm going to say the 12-year-old me was kind of stuck between wanting to play shortstop for the Dodgers, wanting to be a wide receiver for the Steelers, wanting to be a shooting guard for the Lakers, and wanting to be on TV and radio. 12-year-old me was kind of stuck between things. Kind of awkward.
Awkward.
Man, I wish I knew exactly what I thought when I was 12. Let's see. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, Silk Bra thinks Eric in Orlando is coasting a little too long on his one moment of jungle fame. All right, here's the thing. If your one moment of fame includes this email, you can coast as long as you want. Like, my man has got a lifetime exemption. He is a made man for one single contribution. You can email this show every single day for 10 years and not get the kind of run or respect that this guy did for one single email. The email reads, quote, who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on that flight deck he calls a forehead. Your buddy, Eric in Orlando. It's a perfect email because there's so many great things about that. He's talking about James Kelly, who comes in once a week. Right, so if you watch the show closely on CBS Sports Network, you probably do wonder, who is that guy with the giant head who comes in once a week? I'm not referencing it, right? Who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? He does look like Peyton Manning with a giant pinky forehead. Who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on that flight deck he calls a forehead. Your buddy, Eric in Orlando.
That's right.
So, Pauly T. Wall, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That guy's made. Eric in Orlando. Not only can he live on that, coast on that, he will cut the line. He will never wait.
Cut that meat.
This guy can do whatever the hell he wants on this show on the strength of that one email alone. So you're wrong, Paul. You're wrong. It's one of the greatest emails in the history of this talk show.
Ballistic.
Let's go ballistic, Eric.
We're going ballistic, man.
All right, back to the phones. We go to... Here it is. I'm assuming that this really is the guy since the fake guy called earlier. Unless the fake guy is going to Jedi mind trick Hawk or me. Huntington Beach. Let's go to the bra. Silk bra. Silk, it better be you.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
That's, yeah. Good, good. What's up, man?
What's up? Well, I can do the security questions if you want. The street I grew up on was Roderick Lane. My wife's maiden name is Smith. And my cat's names are Kareem and Magic. Now, brah, I agree with you. Eric in Orlando, great email. That harkens back to the old, like, great faxes, like beaver-like chompers and soup plate-sized belt buckles. And I'm glad Pauly T. Wall is thinking about me, because I'm not thinking about him. I usually will go to a Charger game, of course, especially when it's local. But I'm sorry, brah, I'd love to go down there and say hi to you, but the Coliseum's a dump. Been a dump forever. They should have kept the Paris style and nuked that place and built a state-of-the-art stadium. So I can't go down there, bruh. Now, I'm going to call my shot because I'm going to be busy in the classroom for the next couple of days and I can't get in on Friday. So the Chargers will not win on Sunday. I'm hoping for if they play a perfect game, they have a chance. But until they get Bosa back from the foot injury, and, you know, he's a potential defensive player of the year candidate, and until they get Leggett back from the suspension, they can't pressure the quarterback well enough, and Goff gets the ball out too quickly. They got too many weapons. They're going to be too much pressure on the secondary. I don't see the Chargers winning on Sunday, although I'll be hoping for it, Brad. So I hope you have a good hit out there. I will, in fact, though, be in downtown HB killing it with the crew. It's going to be awesome, brah. And I do want to give a shout out to all my bros on the East Coast, everyone in Woonsocket and Arlington. That Josh Gordon trade has the potential to be a wicked tissa. And in Maine, shout out to my brother in smack at Fake Silk. Come on, Albie. Come on. Have a good weekend. Later, brah.
Brah. Brah. Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Brah.
Come on.
Yeah, brah.
Brah.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Brah.
Brah.
Come on.
Come on.
Brah.
Brah.
HB, brah. Come on.
Brah.
Boy, come you know it's a rough hood if Silk's like, I'm not going there. Bro, you live in HB. He's like, hey, you know, bro, I'd love to be there for you. I know you're going to do your hit out there, and you know me, I'm a Charger fan. If there's a game anywhere nearby, I'm there. Oh, it's at the Coliseum. Yeah, I'm not going to that dump. Signed, Silk. I live in HB. An HB kook is not, it's not going to the Coliseum. Rome, Puig has only been robbed four times. What's his secret? Regards people walking home from Dodger Stadium. Dan in Denver. All right, so Silk saying, I'm not going to the Coliseum. And Dan in Denver saying, he's only been robbed four times. What's his secret? People walking home from Dodger Stadium. What else? Carson doesn't want any of that. We're running out of time here. Got a huge call coming up momentarily. Once again, if you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You've got to stay strong like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil. Three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Let's see. I mean, while the Dodgers were mobbing Chris Taylor at home plate after he jumped ship in the 10th and he walked off on the rocks, Yasiel Puig was also running home, like to his actual home in the San Fernando Valley, 818 for life. And he was running home because that home had been broken into for a fourth freaking time. Four times. That is the golden sombrero of home invasions. I'm not even talking about like the fourth time in four decades, the fourth time in 4 years. I'm talking about the fourth time since last spring. Celebrities and athletes getting jacked is nothing new. No one has an easier schedule to track, and nobody has more valuable stuff in their crib. They're rich, they're never home, and we know when they're not home because we can turn on the TV and there they are. But getting jacked four times in 18 months, that's unheard of. And to me, it's kind of preventable, right? I hate to crack a guy when he's dusting for Prince, but Puig, I mean, come on, bro. How many times does a gang of ski masks? Oh, Yasiel. Yasiel, I'll finish that thought tomorrow. That would jump the day. You obviously need to hear from me. Big day today. We had Mike Gundy way back in hour number one. Dino Babers, way back in hour number one. Those two dudes feel like they were 4 days ago. We had Lee Jenkins, top of hour three. If I didn't get to your phone call, we might be able to reset that tomorrow. There were lots of takes that I did not get to that I want to reset tomorrow. Yes, we did, Alvin. Get out of here. I've done everything, Alvy.
Yeah!
Get off my back. I was like, dude, did we get all the billboards in? We got everything in. All the live reads, all the billboards, everything. Clones, thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. I will be back and pick up where I left off tomorrow. See you then. We're out.